Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you are indeed in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Let us now go around the NFL with the understanding that in about 20 minutes, we should be joined by the man who has a man of 1,000 voices, maybe more. We'll find out exactly how many. Rick Caliendo.
How about that? In studio.
Yeah, in studio. So looking forward to that here shortly. Again, appreciation to Chancellor Johnson for talking a little UH Cougar basketball with us coming in. All right. Big thing around the NFL yesterday, somebody got paid. His name is Eugene Cyril Smith, I believe the fourth. Geno Smith is what we call him, and he is now a quarter. He's the quarterback for the Raven or for the Raiders, rather, of Las Vegas, and he will be that for the next few years, according to the extension that he signed. It is a 2-year, $75 million extension that he signed. Obviously, that gets him just under $40 million average annual value, but. He will now, like, the Raiders have their quarterback. In fact, I should start with the fact that I owe the Raiders an apology because I looked at what they had as an organization and I was like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
They trade for Geno Smith, who is a good quarterback in this league. I don't care what anybody wants to say, and if you want to fight me, you can.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good quarterback in this league, and there's a comfortability with your head coach. And I think that this gives you, I mean, not this in and of itself, but I think this gives you a little bit of a foundation for the next few years. Having a quarterback that I won't call him a franchise quarterback, but he is a starter that you feel good about for these next few seasons.
Were you a little surprised by this?
A lot surprised.
I was surprised.
Not by the fact that he got an extension, the number itself.
Yeah, the number was surprising. I thought the extension might have been a little surprising to me anyway. But
the extension, you got to do the extension if you're giving up
it's one of the things that commonly happens, but I guess maybe more, it was more the number. But the thing about Geno Smith is he's one of those guys that people sort of refuse to put in any top tier, whether it's certainly not 10, but even 16, that people tend to fight against. And all he's done has been incredibly accurate and carried teams. And Ben, you said he's not a franchise quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback by definition. He's the guy. I'm saying he's a guy that teams have relied on to be their guy. He's never been like in a competition. He's always been the guy that a team relies on to be their quarterback.
All right, so we just going to have a difference of opinions on what a franchise quarterback is.
Well, no,
that's
like,
what happens
here. To me, it's, is he a true franchise elite quarterback? That's a different conversation. You put the word elite on there. That's C.J. Stroud. That's, guys like that.
That's what a franchise quarterback
is.
No,
a franchise quarterback is when you sign a guy and he's your guy and there is no competition. He's always been that.
Well, I mean, he hasn't because he was a backup for a while. But I think, like,
but I'm saying
in capability
in recent years and in capability and all that stuff, I think he's a little bit disrespected as a quarterback.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I was front and center of the people that looked at Geno Smith when he was when the Seattle Seahawks made the decision that they were going to lean on him. Mm-hmm. People laughed, and I was like, no, I remember when he was with the Jets. Of course, that was a little while back. Was that 10 years prior or something like that? It was a good amount of time prior. Mm-hmm. But he was starting to put it together before he got his jaw cracked by Ike Nwankwo for not paying back money that Ike felt he was due. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories in all of sports. This man, Ike, had a youth camp in Texas, in the Austin area, in fact. And, you know, Geno was supposed to come, didn't show up, and IK wanted some reimbursement for some of the arrangements, and apparently Geno was ducking him. He eventually stepped to him in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Geno said, and I don't remember exactly if this was what it was, but there was an oral history that was done a few years back that was very good, where I believe Geno, in essence, said, what are you going to do about it? That's not a question you want to ask, or that's not something you were going to ask to a very mad linebacker or a very mad defensive player in the league. Who very much wants their money, and he cracked his jaw, and that really halted his career for a little bit. But he could always throw the football, and he was starting to put it together. And you've seen him put it together. One of the best, if not the best, deep passers in the league, accurate as you mentioned. And he comes in at the 20th highest average annual value for quarterbacks now on this extension. This is weird because with the Seahawks traded him after, according to them, which of course take it with whatever grain of salt that's necessary there. They had offered him up $40 to $45 million on average annual value to remain the quarterback there, and he seemed to deny that, again, according to sources that seem to align with the team side, which makes me think, oh, he just didn't want to be in Seattle anymore.
No, absolutely. Over the last three games, I'm looking at it right now, he's over the last 3 years, he's averaged starting 16 games, averaged 4,000 yards passing, 68.5% completion, and 71 touchdowns. I mean, that's a franchise quarterback. He might not be elite, but that's a franchise quarterback.
You're not going to get me on your side.
It is. I mean, look at the number. I mean, would you take 68% and 4,000 yards from C.J. Stroud?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
over a three-year period?
C.J. Stroud has something else.
No, I know. And that's why I say I think he's elite. But right there, every NFL GM would take that.
But then what's the next level that you're putting for the guys above C.J. Stroud? Right? What's the next level that you're putting
for? I think C.J. Stroud's an elite quarterback.
You're putting him on the level with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes?
If you put him in the top.
And Joe Burrow, because I don't want to leave him out of
there. Would you rank him lower than eighth in the league?
No, but I feel like there's a tiered line of demarcation in there somewhere.
Well, now you're parsing because there's the super.
That's what tiers are, aren't they?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, there's a Hall of Fame and then there's a super Hall of Fame. There is an elite quarterback and then there's a super elite.
Where is that?
We know who the super Hall of Famers are.
Do they have
are.
That? Is that still in canon or is that somewhere else?
But you look at certain.
Do they not let us
hold
know?
Hold on. Do you not look at certain Hall of Famers different than other Hall of Famers?
Sure.
Don't you look at elite quarterbacks, super elite quarterbacks, different than other elite quarterbacks? That's what I'm saying. And then there's franchise quarterbacks, the guys that you rely on, and there are the numbers, three straight years, 16 starts, 68%, 4,000 yards. Give me that.
I mean, I don't agree. I don't disagree there at all. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, finding a new place to work, how about Case Keenum? The Chicago Bears have brought on veteran quarterback Case Keenum to mentor Caleb Williams. So his tenure for the time being as a Houston Texan ends, and now he goes. And in a way, I immediately went to, you remember, was that week two where everybody was up in arms about C.J. Stroud, big bro, and Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams kind of getting on a C.J. Stroud train because here comes Case Keenum to be his Yoda now in a way.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, that stinks. You know, I kind of wanted him here. But he's going to be coaching. That's a good place for him to mentor a quarterback that probably does need it a lot more.
Well, you say he's going to be coaching, but it really did feel like a lot of people around here wanted him to, just become a coach here. Like, we'd love to see you, but he seems to still want to play, right? Because, like, he's not
it
becoming
pays better.
A coach. Well, yeah, that is fair.
It pays better.
That's a good point. But, yeah, shout out to Case Keenum as he continues his career. Obviously, I think we all wish him success in that role. And it does feel like Caleb Williams is being set up.
Boy, they're helping him a lot.
A really great year. It'd be a real problem, though, if it does not come along. Because we already felt that in his rookie year, that they had really put some things around him to try and make it go well, although they did not fire the head coach.
And then the line and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here they are, adding Case Keenum to help in that quarterback room. All right. I asked this. What happens now if things happen this way, if Adam Schefter is correct? Because Adam Schefter reported, and he does the thing that reporters do where they kind of give you like little nuggets that aren't quite nuggets because there's qualifiers on them. Listen to Adam Schefter talking about the feeling, the current feeling when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, or really just selecting a quarterback or two.
And it certainly feels like the Cleveland Browns are inclined to look elsewhere aside from quarterback. And it's starting to feel like the New York Giants at number three are starting to look elsewhere other than quarterback. So if the Browns don't take Shedeur Sanders at two, and if the Giants don't take Shedeur Sanders at three, and that is the feel that I'm getting recently, where is Shedeur Sanders going?
I've seen a lot of this lately. I know you have. Maybe as low as nine, you know, 10.
Nine to the Saints.
Saints is what I've seen.
That would be smart, so they stop paying quarterbacks a whole bunch of money to not be all that good for them.
And I keep going back to yesterday, you know, Brian brought us, you know, talking about, you know, if you look at some of these quarterbacks, you know, it's just, there is, if you compare from one year to the next, is what he was talking about. Like, how good is that position group? And I think a lot of people are in on Cam Ward, and then they're starting to compare Shedeur Sanders this year to other quarterbacks in previous years, and they're like, nah, we'd rather go with Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or whatever it is.
Right, and especially in a year where there have been questions about like what the ultimate ceiling is on your quarterbacks, even including Cam Ward, but even though Cam Ward, I think he has now separated himself amongst the draft quarterbacks. I saw Brett Coleman tweet out a really interesting kind of point about years where, you know, you're not all that strong on the other quarterbacks, but, you know, the cautionary tale that is drafting a quarterback simply because they're quarterback. I take you to, what is this, 2011? Cam Newton, number one quarterback. That is a dude that obviously you knew that he was really, really good at football. So after that, Von Miller's drafted second, Martell Darius, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Alden Smith, all great players. At eight, the Tennessee Titans took Jake Locker. You remember that, Tom?
Oh, I remember that. I definitely remember that. That's a great example.
After Jake Locker, Tyron Smith goes, who is soon to be Hall of Famer, I imagine. 10th, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blaine Gabbert. After that, your Houston Texans take who?
Who was it?
Justin James Watt.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Like,
that's right.
This is the downside of forcing yourself to get a quarterback in that space, and I do wonder if the Browns and the Giants are looking up like, okay, we can maybe...
I think that's the example.
We can get some quarterbacks that we feel comfortable with for a short time. In the Giants' case, it is we're going to roll with the Russell Wilson year. We don't expect to be particularly good anyways.
Yeah.
And then get to another place where maybe you can go get a quarterback. And for the Browns in particular, I mean, how good are you planning to be with the way that your contract situation is anyways? Although it seems like, according to... you know, some of the scuttlebutt out there, they seem to be still in the running for that Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins seems to want to be cut.
And they're playing at coy over in Atlanta.
Yep.
They are definitely. And I'm not saying, you know, Cam Ward is going to be, you know, is going to be that good as Cam Newton. But I think that's the best example. They have one where people feel like, okay. And then after that, it's how do you feel about that particular guy? And there's maybe some shortcomings.
Yeah. But and of course, one thing that I always want to mention in all of this, it's lion season, man. Like, this
big
is
time.
The time period where you could see someone do all this and then ultimately come back on the back end and you see him go second or third to the Giants. And all of this was just, you know, I guess, unnecessary hot air. But I do find that interesting, especially because that's been a conversation that I think we've been having personally. Is just, what is, you know, how good or how high of a ceiling is good enough for you to forego the opportunity cost of a high-level player that could be on your roster for a significant amount of time, like an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And I'm looking at this quarterback draft class, and I'm like, it feels like I would go for the bona fide blue chip.
Yeah, I've been saying that all along. I mean, the best player, the best player in this draft is Hunter, then maybe Carter. And after that, it's kind of a crapshoot in terms of position players. But the quarterback, Titans are going to take Cam Ward. It seems like pretty obvious now.
All right. Before we move on, do you think the Pittsburgh could jump up if they don't get Aaron Rodgers by draft night? Because that's something that Kix Rocks is positing on the YouTube.
Boy, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, you know how I feel about that. But for them to jump up, I mean, they do have, you know, obviously a coach that can get a lot out of a team, and the only thing they're missing is a quarterback. I mean, maybe. Do you think that's possible? I hesitate.
It feels like it's so far from what the Steelers have been in the past.
I hesitate, yeah.
And if they did that, I mean, even the Aaron Rodgers thing feels far from what they've been in the past. But it just feels like, oh, okay, so the Steelers of the past that had this MO and they stuck to it and they kind of allowed that to be the way that guided them, but that team is gone, which would be really wild. All right, and text comes in that says, I wonder how much teams are worried about taking on the baggage that comes with Sanders, whether it's Deion or what have you. I mean, you're going to have to hear about things from Deion. Oh, and it's not even just because Deion is some level of anything. It's not an indictment of him. It's just, hey, what player have you had where his pops is in front of a microphone where the media is going to ask him questions every week? Because that's what it's going to be in Colorado. And you're damn sure that someone in that media is going to ask
week.
About, yeah, well, you know, something happened with your son up
every
there in New York. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that? So I do wonder if that comes up. But, I mean, it'd be really weird for those two teams in particular to be worried about that. The Giants, you're in the New York media. Like, I thought that was something that they just kind of understood as a given. And then you look at the Browns, and have they not had the crash course in dealing with questions about your quarterback?
Yeah, as far as it goes with Shedeur Sanders, I honestly, and I could be dead wrong, obviously, because Deion likes to say things. I don't think teams, that's scaring off teams by any stretch. I think they know what they want, what they are. Even the bad teams try to, you know, insulate themselves from that type of stuff. And I think Shedeur Sanders got something to prove. I think Deion gets it, you know, more than other people would.
And it feels like, he's a pro in this. It seems like he'll be able to navigate this. And yeah, you're right, Kix Rocks. Paying money for DK and trading for him and everything is also not Steelers-esque as well. We might be seeing a new era in their situation as well. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. And coming up next, we welcome in studio the man of a thousand voices. You hear him as he does the John Madden. He does John Gruden. And we'll tap into that and more with Frank Caliendo.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Next. All right, you are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, and joining us now is a man who is very well known, particularly in the sports space, but he's a fantastic comedian. His name is Frank Caliendo. Frank, what's happening, man?
Hey, great to be here, guys, on Final Four week. You guys got it.
We got the team. By the way, what have you been doing the last 10 years? I haven't seen you in about 10 years.
I've been hiding out, man.
You joined us in the studio about 10
years. It's been that long, 10 years. Huh? Well, and it's too funny because I was talking to your old, I don't remember, he was a PD.
Program champ.
But I was like, yeah, I wanted to go and do 610 and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, don't worry, that'll happen. That'll be good. So, it'll be fantastic. And I'm back and better than ever.
You certainly
new
are.
New and improved, as they say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us. You're going to be performing at the Improv Houston.
The Houston
this
Improv,
weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, two shows Saturday, I think 6 and 8:30. There's nothing going on Saturday night.
None whatsoever.
Come on out to see the show at the Improv. And then Sunday at the Improv as well, improvtx.com. And mm-hmm. all the shows that I'm doing coming up are frankonstage.com, which brings you to their websites as well. But let's talk this Final Four.
Let's talk this Final Four.
Because Milos, I saw him out of high school. I saw him do a bunch of workouts because he went to prep school, I believe it was, in Phoenix, which mm-hmm. is where I live. And then he was at Oklahoma and now here. So yeah. That's pretty good. But you're going against Cooper Flagg. And I keep wanting to break Cooper Flagg down as Mel Kiper Jr. talking about tremendous athletes, 6'10", 7'2", wingspan. Reminds me of a Grant Hill type of player who shoots at all three levels, can go to the cup, make it happen, take it from downtown. Tremendous job at the end of the day. Cooper Flagg is the guy I'm going to take. You'd be hard-pressed to tell me otherwise. Until he goes to the NBA, then next year they're going to have Carlos Boozer come in. Carlos Boozer, 6'9", son of his dad. Not Carlos Boozer. It's actually Boozer's son, the Boozer twins. There's two of them. If you're Carlos Boozer, you don't just help make one, you help make two. And at the end of the day, you got a guard and a forward, and then you'd be hard pressed to tell me otherwise. So I've been around some college basketball, so it's been a lot of fun. I was just on with Bob Valvano the other day in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was funny because I've never had a Dick Vitale that worked. And for some reason, with Valvano, all of a sudden I was like, it's incredible. It's amazing. I don't know what it is, and it sounds kind of bad, but like since the throat problems for Dick Vitale, I have a better chance of doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's a voice that you can use that hoarseness. Incredible. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, so it's getting there. And when it was with him, I was like, wow, that's the best I've ever done it. And since then, hasn't been as good.
You know, the funny thing is you've obviously made it in a tremendous career out of, you know, doing characters. It seems now like Charles Barkley is doing your character.
I think he's always done it. I picked up on it, and he's just when I first met Charles, it was an event for the Phoenix Suns charity, celebrating all that the Phoenix Suns give back to the community and mm-hmm. the greatest Phoenix Suns of all time. It was before KD and Booker, so only like two of them. Charles comes up, he's like, Frank, you got to keep doing me. I'm like, why is it? You got to keep doing that impression of me. I'm like, why is it? Because every time you do it, I end up making more money. I don't even understand why. To hear you do it on the radio, next thing you know, I get a new commercial with Taco Bell or Weight Watchers, which came right after Taco Bell. So must have been 2-minute runs for the border. So, but 2 weeks ago, it was like my bit used to be like he doesn't pay attention to the game. I still do it sometimes, mm-hmm. but like what? He's not paying attention to the game. What do you think, Charles?
I have no idea what's going on. But I'll tell you what, Kim Jong-un is crazy. That guy's nuts. They're going to blow up the world. We've all been little pieces watching basketball. Back to you, Ernie.
But they asked him the other day, there's no broader question than, what do you think of the first half?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a good question, Ernie.
It's not.
He had nothing. And nothing. Kenny was like, it's your job, man. When Kenny Smith is like the Howie Long of that show. Mm-hmm. Like he's like Barkley's the Bradshaw. And Howie Long, I think that show actually was created, the NBA on TNT came from the same producers that did the NFL on Fox.
Yeah.
So they went over there, created that show. And then Barkley, and they added Shaq, of course, but Kenny Smith and Ernie. Ernie was the originally JB at Fox. And yep. It just, they took it to a might be the best show on all of television mm-hmm. to me is watching Charles. Just unpreparedness is what makes him great. I don't, people are like, he doesn't, sometimes they're like, he doesn't get ready. I don't want to see him ready. I want to see what happens. I want to see the mistakes and watch him get out of it and dig the hole, look over to Shaq. What do you think, Shaq?
I thought you had no idea what you're talking about. Right.
And that's great. And then sometimes Barkley has to be like the Rosetta Stone for Shaq because Shaq mumbles so much. Like they're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, I think the first part was a little esoteric, but the second part got a little crazy. And those guys are just a lot of fun. But it's Barkley not even paying attention in that situation. Mm-hmm. And he knows, he's like most of us watching college basketball. Nobody watches the whole year.
Except
for your team. You might watch your team.
Yeah.
And then you in the NCAA, and you're talking about, the like, what do you think, Charles? Like,
well, I think the guy with the red shoelaces did a really nice job. Passed to the big dude in the headband. And that was really, really crazy.
He does it. And it doesn't matter because it's Charles, and you want to hear that. You don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So they got Clark Kellogg, who's like the most elegant, loyal human being ever. Mm-hmm. And you've got him there and some of the other guys. But Charles, you want to see the silliness. And I think it's what adds to the show. And he does it. I mean, he makes it self-deprecating at times, but he does it without going like being too much of a clown. He's fun and he loves it. He embraces it, and it's just he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's so deeply charismatic is the thing I love about him.
No, he tells the truth. Right. That's the whole thing. He's honest about stuff. When that Weight Watchers thing happened years ago, he's like, they're paying me all this money. And I don't have to do anything. These guys are crazy. And then Weight Watchers, that were like, there was this big craze about it. And Weight Watchers was brilliant too, because they said, yeah, we agree with them. It's really easy to lose weight.
There you go.
That's great when you marketing. Embrace it and that's you go right. back both ways. Yeah. Well, that's the pun.
You speak about embracing it. I mean, Charles is definitely one of those guys he's gone with, and you talked about it. He's just like, keep doing that. Have you ever had somebody who kind of pressed you about an impression that you did of them or anything of the sort?
For the most part, people have liked me. Berman looked a little scared one time. He's like, what are we doing here? Then he turned into, back to you. I'm trying to think of the people that, one guy, incredible, phenomenal, did not like me at all.
Wow.
Great job. Great take. Have a take and don't suck.
Really?
Not a huge fan of me. Wouldn't look at me. But I always envied him. I mean, it was one of those things. I was driving around doing colleges all those years and, it was phenomenal. Please don't laugh over the pauses. Do a great job by myself. But most people generally like it. Gruden embraced it.
He loves it.
I tell you what, man, that's a great job right there, man. What are you doing? You guys want to open some boxes right now? You see, that's what Gruden's doing now with
Barstool. He's doing bizarre stuff
now.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. He is the internet content king at this point. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, we got to open up a box. You know what's inside that box? Another box. What's inside that box? Another box. It's like one of those Russian nesting dolls. You ever see those things, man? Those things are crazy. Little spider two-y banana cream pie. It's good stuff right there, man.
Have you noticed what I've noticed about Gruden, which is he seems like he is always on level 11 when it comes to excitement about anything.
I tell you what, I really love the fact that I can breathe right now, man. We're doing a really great job taking in air and creating carbon dioxide. You know, that's what happens. That's the circle of life. You ever see Lion King, man? Hakuna Matata means no worries. That's when you're playing at your highest level, man. That's tremendous stuff right there.
I mean, and being in Arizona, Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever, country. Yeah. Pac-2, whatever.
Well, now you're in Big 12 country, baby.
Pick your number, now you're in Big 12 country. But losing Bill Walton had to have been a big.
Yeah, and he was a pretty decent friend of mine. One of my really good friends, Dave Pash, he was actually watching some of the games over at the at my house during the, I think, first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And he had sent me, I'll have to show you some pictures, but he sent me pictures. Lori, Bill's widow, had sent him posters. He just showed me the pictures. I'm going to go to his house and look at the poster. But what Bill always called Dave was coal. You're coal and I am, you know, energy, green energy. That's what I am. Here we are. Coal.
You're so good.
And what he would, and it's, there's all these posters that basically look like Dave in hell and Bill in heaven, and it's just great. And one of the best things I ever got to do was I did two games with Bill and Dave. And the funniest part, Dave had the best line of the whole thing. He's like, you've actually got Bill talking basketball today. But I'm sitting there going, look it in the inside, throw it down, big man. Here we go as we sit on this earth, this rock, the third one from the sun. Great show back in the 90s. Here we are sitting underneath a eucalyptus tree enjoying our lives as it is. We know as the earth rotates on its axis. I had him on a podcast one time. We said hello and 45 minutes later.
Done.
Yeah, I don't know if it was done. We just turned it off.
Right.
He kept going like a plane flew over and something in it is a flashback of some sort to something he had taken that or didn't knowingly or unknowingly. And he was talking about pterodactyls and as it flies over, and there were Grateful Dead references, and we were trying to pick up. It's like trying to watch Severance on Apple TV right now. You got to go back and watch all the different things that happened to see to put the clues together to understand what Bill was talking about.
We're talking to Frank Caliendo here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. One of the things I wonder about was, especially with somebody that's like such a great impressionist, there's obviously the big personalities, and we've talked about a few of them. But like here in Houston, like some of the guys that we have are really like muted.
That makes it way tougher.
Yeah, I was like, how do you get to that space if you're trying to get to a character like that?
Well, a lot of times there's just nothing to do. Maybe you can find something, but people said there was nothing to do with Adam Schefter, and I went, according to my sources, at this particular time, it appears that there is a chance. He always couches everything so he can't get sued. Like, he's brilliant at that. One time I asked him, where are you at? I'm at the doctor's office, 3 feet over from the Highlights magazine. Like, no, what city are you in? Long Island. Why is that important? No, well, why is the Highlights magazine important? None of this is important. The
Highlights magazine.
What are you doing?
Let me ask you this, though. Reggie and I were talking about this before the show. Is there a point where you decide, I got to retire a voice? And the one that came to mind, I don't think will ever be retired. Maybe it will. You tell me. John Madden.
Well, that's
there you go.
That is one of those questions. So I just got a weird phone call the other day from my agent. And Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden in the Madden movie, which is about the video game, which is going to be awesome. Of course. Right. But they called me and said, can you do a Zoom with Nicolas Cage and talk about John Madden with them? And I was like, no. They're like, what do you mean? No. I'm like, I want to go hang out with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want him to show me around Vegas and look at his monitor lizards. Look here. This guy is amazing. I've dressed him up to be a dragon. Okay. But I want to drive around a convertible like Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes with him. That's what I want to do. Right? But they said they didn't have the time. I don't know. So I acquiesced to the Zoom, but it still hasn't happened. Every 2 weeks they call me. Are you ready to do it? I'm like, yeah. Just you let me know when Nick's ready.
I'm ready to go. Here we are. Boom!
Because I could teach him. Like, I can do an okay Nicolas Cage. It would get better working with him. But his voice is up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Real nasally.
The
nasal voice, and you bring it down and into the throat, and then it becomes John Madden in here. You asked me about Patrick Mahomes before. There's that. It all comes, every answer he says, it's always that to lead into it. But there's two voices that lead. People always say Kermit the Frog with him. Well, there is some Kermit the Frog, which is, hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. But also there's Fozzie Bear, which is deeper in the throat, which is waka waka waka. And the two of those kind of combine to, in there.
Yeah.
But if you take that Kermit the Frog and you bring it down here, it becomes John C. Reilly. Did you touch my drum set? And if you add some air, it becomes Mark Ruffalo. I see this as an absolute win. Now you bring this, put some more air into it, and it becomes Paul Giamatti. I believe that is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Now, if you tighten it back up
and bring it back up here, it becomes Seth Rogen. I had no idea you could even do that.
And then Joe Rogan's right in there. It's not even far off. It's like, Jamie, pull that up. Oh, my God, that's crazy. So all those voices all right in the middle. It's, you hear Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates. You bring it down and it's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is, we had no idea that life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Those are great drills.
It's training. For me, it's training. When somebody asked me, how would you do a Morgan Freeman voice? I go, you get the deepest voice you can and you say, ah, yes, a bunch. Ah, yes, ah, yes, ah, yes, ah, yes. Then you start to play with the pitch a little bit. Ah, yes. Then you find a phrase. Fact of the matter is. Now you go up and down, right? You go up and down. It's like playing music. Fact of the matter is, we had no idea this is where it was going to lead. He climbed
That's
through
amazing.
500 yards of the 50th slap. I can't even imagine. Or maybe so I just good. Don't want to.
Man, it feels like we just speed ran like 13 voices.
But we learned things.
I can only imagine what it's like sitting in on a show and you're going to have three opportunities this weekend.
One of my favorites, I know you probably got to get to break it, but one of my favorite things was teaching Shaq how to do Trump. That is the phrase.
What?
Shaq's like, teach me how to do Trump. I was like, show you got to go. You got to go in here. It's fantastic. It's tremendous. And he's going, it's fantastic.
Didn't work. It didn't take.
It was pretty good. I'm like, can I tell people of that? There's a go ahead. It was on his podcast years ago. So
obviously, having all of these in your bag, and of course, you can see Frank Caliendo at the Houston Improv. Two shows on Saturday,
And one show on Sunday. ImprovTX.com brings you for those. I think it's 6 and 8:30. Like I said, nothing going on at 8:30.
No, don't worry about it.
Don't even worry about it. Yeah. And I'm sure you'll give updates during your performance. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you have all these. You have your shows. Do you ever get tired of people trying to like almost play you like a jukebox? Because we got texts of people like, oh, do Christopher Walken, do this.
Sorry, if you bring them up and I can do them, I'll try. Why not? Send a text. Tell me what you want. We'll make it happen. Look out. Milos is going to score. Watch him from out of bounds. Gets in bounds. Gets 2 feet in. Goes up. Looks like he's going to dunk. But he made sure to lay it in.
What's your current favorite to do?
One of them is Robert Downey Jr. because you just burp halfway through sentences. That's fun. I mean, when they're weirder, the tough thing is to try and find something good that goes with it. But I don't know. They're like your kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You
love them all.
That's
the same.
I don't buy that.
Choose a favorite.
That's right.
My daughter is by far my favorite. Right now.
Does anyone in your life like then kind of do a little bit more impressions just because of what you bring to it and the, you know, expertise that you can kind of give in some ways?
People around me who aren't in comedy or are you talking about? Yeah, I think people do. I mean, people come up to me all the time after shows or something, or they'll see me out in public and like, brave warrior you are. I'm like, you're doing Yoda, aren't you?
Good job.
They're like, do your
the force you must do.
Yeah, it's I get that a lot. I try to be nice about it, but I actually don't mind. Some people do some really good ones, mm-hmm. but then they will do four bits for me. Yeah. I don't do bits for you. Why are you? I do them on stage when it's the time where I'm here promoting a show.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's like in public, I'm not really working on bits. So.
Yeah.
So if somebody's going to come up and walk to you with a bit, just keep it quick.
Yeah, quick is in and out, get in and out.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a drive and kick.
Man, it's great seeing you again. Yeah,
thanks for having me, guys.
HoustonImprov.com. And what's the other website?
ImprovTX, right?
ImprovTX.com.
ImprovTX.com.
They have a few different clubs. And FrankOnStage.com for me, which is actually FrankCaliendo.com, and you don't have to spell Caliendo, which is Frank C. Alien Do, the letter C, the word alien, and the word do.
Okay.
But FrankOnStage.com brings you to the ImprovTX.com. Website as well to get your tickets.
So all those various places you can get our guy. Before we let you go, I mean, Houston Cougars are in the Final Four. I need your prediction. However, if you could please do it in the voice of the great Al Pacino.
Oh, what a call. Here we are. Let's see. I'm trying to sell tickets, so I better be a homer here. I talk about it, but it's tough when you got Con Knipl shooting threes from downtown. Doesn't even look like he should be in the game. Malawatch. 8-foot wingspan. Whoa. I'm taking the Cougars because I'm on 6'10 right now.
That's right. That's right.
Wow!
There it is. Make sure you see the man, Frank Caliendo, the legend. Join us on Sports Radio 610. You'll see him at the Houston Improv twice on Saturday, once on Sunday. Make sure you catch him. Frank, we appreciate you greatly, my
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
There you go. Frank Caliendo, man, what a time. I want to just blow through the break and do another segment, but we got to get you to what's popping. We'll do that next, including the Astros bats finally got going. Next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into what's poppin' on this Friday in the Loop. Much appreciation to Frank Caliendo stopping in studio talking some Cougs. Like, he really wanted to talk more Cougs than we even got into. We'll circle back around to the Cougs before they face off against the Duke Blue Devils. That's tomorrow. 7:49 is tip, and you'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Excited about that basketball game. Duke is a favorite. I think last time I checked, it was 5.5.
It's gone up
again.
Mm-hmm. No, 2.5.
Okay, I was about to say,
four and a half. Yeah.
It's gonna be a tough matchup. Mm-hmm. We talked to Chancellor Johnson earlier today about it. The thing I'm most concerned about with this game is what we saw from Purdue. It felt like a little bit of a weakness that a team could exploit, especially a team that is as good and as sizable as Duke, which is doubling the bigs and making them pass and then taking advantage of that. That's the thing I am interested and afraid to see if John Shire utilizes that. But I'm super intrigued to see what the best coach remaining, Kelvin Sampson, brings out for his boys to try and take on this monstrous challenge.
Super, super intriguing. I think we can both honestly say, I think the most diehard Cougs fan can honestly say, this is a worry, man. This is a tough, we're talking about, if it plays out and looks as the Blue Devils have looked all along, this is one of the best teams you'll see. You know, I'm not going to say all time and all this other stuff, no. But it's a fantastic Duke Blue Devils team that has the length, that has the athleticism on the outside to do a lot of what the Cougs like to do. I'm going to pick the Cougs with my heart. I think they're the best coach team left. I think they're going to, they have a lot of options, as you heard from Chancellor Johnson earlier. You know, they can beat you a number of different ways. That defense is one of the best you'll ever see. But boy, this is about as tough a matchup as the Cougs can get.
Yeah, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that, as I said, but excited to see that game again. You'll hear that here on Sports Radio 610 tomorrow evening. Also, tomorrow afternoon, the Astros will get back at it in their series versus the Twins. But yesterday afternoon, the Astros, one, got a victory, and two,
they're hitting the long ball.
The bats showed up. Not the torpedo bats. We're still waiting on those, but I guess maybe just the idea of the torpedo
bats.
That's
what I texted you guys.
Yes, you did. Helped some guys get going.
Just the hint of those torpedo bats arriving soon, if not now, got the Astros bats going.
5-2 mm-hmm. was the score in a chilly Minneapolis versus the Minnesota Twins. And it was Christian Walker eventually turning all those hard hits into one that went into the stands for homer. And then immediately after, Jeremy Pena mm-hmm. putting them big old muscles to use. Back-to-back homers for the fellas. And the thing that I like the most is that that's the middle of the lineup, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. I think the guys that in the midst of our fear, or maybe I shouldn't say that, at least some of us had fear yeah. when we were early on and we're just like, oh my goodness, where's the offense? You go, okay, Altuve will do what he does. You know, you expect Yordan to do what he does. Christian, it's some of those guys after that you had some maybe concerns about. But no, Jeremy Pena goes yard. Caratini goes 2-for-4 with a couple of runs. Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Your second baseman.
Three RBI, 3-for-4 on the day. And he was 3-for-3 until he struck out in his last at bat. Like, it's that portion of the lineup that showed up in a big way in this game.
And that's, you know, that's going to be the concern. It's going to be something we watch all year long. But terrific start. Kind of want to play again today, but...
What? Keep that same energy going?
Yeah, kind of want to keep it going, but kind of a scheduling quirk here, you know.
Because them boys don't have a roof on the top of their stadium.
So you play, then you rest, then you play the same team.
Well, they play and they rest just to make sure that snow didn't ruin them in their scheduling. But you'll have today off, which, you know what? I think that I'm okay with him having a day off after that kind of game. Like, I think that the mental shifts a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think Chandler Rome wrote an interesting piece about Brendan Rodgers and Christian Walker and the ways in which they came into this team knowing that they were going to, well, Christian Walker maybe more so than Brendan Rodgers, but mm-hmm. even once you get to the regular season, knowing that they're probably going to need to make impacts. Brendan Rodgers playing a lot of second base, defensively going to need to make an impact.
Yeah.
And then Christian Walker, both defensively but then offensively, going to need to make an impact and being new to it, and how that kind of added a level of pressure for them. And it seems like maybe the first road trip gave them an opportunity to kind of unwind and mm-hmm. get themselves in a place where they could go out and be a little free. And they did that, and they scored the runs. They get you back to 3-4. You're still below 500, but again, it's early.
It's early.
It's a marathon and not a sprint. But I mean, it was good to see. How'd you feel about Hunter Brown? 6 innings.
I thought he was nails,
but a couple of earned runs.
No, I thought, especially this early in the season, to be able to do that, stave them off, keep control, stave them off, keep control, and kind of answer after Fromber sort of gave it up early. And so having Hunter Brown perform like that was good. And the other thing that I really liked, Christian Walker's going to be so key to the entire year. And to get him going a little bit, we'll see how it plays. That's why I want him to get right back out there, but they're not. But I think Christian Walker's going to be, he's so key to this team.
Yeah, I feel good about Christian Walker because he's been lashing the ball. Mm-hmm. He just didn't send it yard.
Yeah.
Any concerns about Yordan 0-for-4 in this one again? Another instance, if memory serves me, of one of those pitches that's meaty that he did not swing at. Like, I'm starting to look at it and like, man, what's happening here with just like his eye? Not that he has a bad eye, because you're still seeing him like generate or take good pitches at various points. It's just he's not really attacking the ones that are there for him.
We can talk about how early it is, until it's not. I'm abusing the bell. That's all right. But if you're saying there's not a little bit of a raised eyebrow at minimum, maybe concern at maximum, I think you're fooling yourself, because you just touched on it. It's not that, hey, he's starting out slow, but he's making some good contact. He's seeing the ball well, because he's not. He's doing some out of character things. That would be I'm at the level of, yes, it's early, so let's see how it plays out, and he makes some adjustments. But he's doing things we're not used to seeing, him do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a good win. They're back in action again tomorrow in the afternoon, early afternoon. So mm-hmm. if you're starting to plan out your day, that 1:10, mm-hmm. get you some baseball. Then in the evening, I don't know if you're going to go see Frank Caliendo, but also you got some Cougar basketball going on as well. All right, some other things as you're planning your weekend tonight. Rockets are back in action, and they're facing off against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the best team in the West.
What do they have, 12 in a row?
11 in a row?
Wins?
Yeah.
I stopped paying attention. Like, what do I need to know that for? They're really good. They're like 16 games ahead of everybody. Like, y'all just go do that over there.
Yeah.
Whatever y'all are doing when it comes to the win streak. But yeah.
Y'all go do that.
Yeah, no.
We'll be over here doing our thing.
Exactly, man. We'll see you in the playoffs. That's ultimately. Mm-hmm. But they'll see him tonight, right? At Toyota Center. It's an 11-game win streak.
11.
For the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the Rockets are going to face off against that team. No Dylan Brooks. The final technical, the 16th technical, was upheld from that Utah Jazz game, so he will miss this game. I'm kind of interested in that, like, weirdly enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the stakes of this game aren't necessarily there, although you want to start playing
That
your
level.
Best basketball at this level in this time. But I kind of also, weirdly enough, especially with, you know, all the odds and the Rockets being the odds-on favorite to acquire Kevin Durant services, mm-hmm. it is fair to maybe assume that maybe Dylan Brooks would be involved in a trade like that, or maybe he would be the odd man out in a starting lineup or what have you. Kind of see what this team can continue to do in instance where you're not relying on what Dylan Brooks brings, even though I very much appreciate what he brings, knocking down shots, being an aggressive defender, and kind of being as versatile as he is.
I'm interested, you know, just because of as we talked about, you know, you've got to play at a higher level now. Yeah, these next five games are where it's basically a test run for the postseason.
It is.
You know, no matter where you end up in 2-3, wherever in the conference standings, you've got to see what you can do against this, because these are the teams that you're going to see again in a matter of, what'd you say, the playoffs start in 10 days, something like that?
15 days till the NBA playoffs proper. Obviously, the play-in will be going on there. And shout out to Engineer Andy, who in this instance is trying to be Meteorologist Andy. High temperature in Minnesota tomorrow, 44 degrees.
Not a baby.
But sunny.
Oh, they'll be playing that.
Yeah, they'll play a little ball. Speaking of playing ball, tomorrow another person who'll be playing ball, Lance McCullers. He'll have rehab start number two out there in AA Corpus Christi. So if you are inclined to have some level of superstitions or religious beliefs that you would like to utilize in order to have good vibes and best wishes to Lance McCullers as he continues to try and rehab, because Luis Garcia, it doesn't look like he's being shut down with that inflammation. Doesn't look like you're going to have that level of reinforcements coming. So hopefully Lance McCullers continues moving in that direction. He threw 35 pitch, two innings, 35 pitches last time. So hopefully he can extend that out some more.
That's exactly what I was going to mention. Let's see if we can get past two innings here. That would be the best news of all for Lance McCullers. They've been smartly playing it very slow, one inning and then two innings. Let's see if we can stretch it out a little bit.
All right. So that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And shout out to Lacey, who's like, I told y'all, lack of bats in the spring is a problem. It did feel weird, man, that they didn't hit anything. But at the very least, maybe this is going to be where the Astros break out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I one of the things I loved about, and it wasn't like they hit crazy, but, you know, they hit a little bit better.
Yeah.
It makes everything look a lot better. The defense
felt a lot better.
Defense does not look as bad when you have a little bit of run support, man. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how that works in baseball, ain't it?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next in loop, let's read between the lines on when Nick Caserio joined Payne and Pendergast yesterday. There's a few takeaways that we have for you that we think is fair. Let us know if you believe them to be fair. We'll talk about that.